conflict of interest. Come on, conflict of interest. In our society today, that's what we face many times, especially as believers. And many times young believers, especially, and even times in the older seasons believers. We suffer with this thing of this agonizing place in our life that's a conflict of interest. And Ahab was no different than this, and I chose Ahab because he was one of the biggest offenders. He's a king of Israel, summoned by God, called by God. All leadership is ordained by God. But yet the Bible says he was an evil king. The reason why is because Ahab had done some things against God, because he had gotten into this marriage relationship with Jezebel, much like Solomon, and now he found himself in a pagan relationship serving a pagan God. Come on, once he was called to serve and live for God and the wonderful works of God, bringing them out of Egypt and dividing the Red Sea and feeding them in the wilderness and all the things that God had did wonderfully in the lives of his people. And now in the memory of that, he turns his back and says, I'm going to serve another God. Although I know what God has done and I know what he is and who he is in our lives, but the reality is I'm serving this God that I can see. See, they had erected images of goats and bulls and other things like that that represented the God that they thought was delivering them or providing food for them or giving them the moisture or rain or dew that they needed to produce their crops. But the reality is Ahab had turned his back on God. He was living in a conflict of interest. And many times in our day, if we're not careful, we will find ourselves somewhat knowing who God is, trying to live for God, and find ourselves in a conflict of interest. Come on, Paul says it in Romans chapter 7. He said, the good that I want to do, I always find myself not doing it, because every time I would go to do good, evil would always be present. What he said was something inside of me that was going on inside of me that was a conflict of my interests. I want to do right. I want to serve God. I want to go to church. I want to live holy. I want to do the right things, but I got a conflict of. And many times we find that conflict of interest with how we spend our money and who we spend our time with and the relationships that we get in and the places that we go and the things that we do. And we find ourselves wanting to love God and find ourselves doing stuff that is a conflict of. It is not in my best interest. It is definitely not in God's interest. But I find myself doing some things and going places that I don't want to do and dealing with people that I don't want to deal with and doing things I don't want to do. And it's always ended up being a conflict of interest. I want to do the right thing. Want to live for God. Want to be holy. Want to have the God's blessings on my life. And the things happen to just change my mind. Ahab had a conflict of interest. He wanted to live for God. He wanted to be who God called him, but because of his interests, it changed his mind and it changed his heart. He became an evil king. Amen? He became an evil king. And we live this life of faith in constant confrontation. If you haven't had it in your faith, you will. If you haven't noticed it in your lifestyle, you will. There's a constant confrontation. See, the influence of the spirit of this world is in constant competition. Amen? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, we're in competition. Come on, whether you want to acknowledge it or see it or not in your lives, we are in constant competition with the things that happen and go in our lives. Is that Troy back there? Hey, Troy. Amen. We're in constant competition with things in our lives. Amen? Come on. It is against the standards or the things that stand for God. And anything that's anti-God or anti-Christ is a confrontation. And sometimes we have to make a decision. I'm going to either go with it or I'm going to go against it. It becomes a conflict of interest. Come on, people know, and some people know you serve the Lord, and still they do things and say things that still will go against what is contrary and anti-God or anti-Christ in your life. Amen? And many times we have to make a decision. Am I going to do this? Am I going to go along with it? Or am I going to back off because it is a conflict of interest? Come on, it is a constant pull in our lives, church. And whether we acknowledge it or not, it sometimes comes in, sometimes in your home, sometimes in your job, sometimes in your relationships, when we know to do right and we still do not do it. And we wonder why God is not doing certain things, and we wonder why this is not happening in our life. It is because God says you are living in a conflict of interest. Come on, church, we have to be ready for the confrontation. If we're going to stand for God and live for God, we got to be ready for the confrontation. It may be somebody you love. It may be somebody you are afraid or offended by. But the reality is we have to make sure if we're going to live for God that we do not live in a conflict of his interests. We have to live rooted and grounded in who God is. Come on, Ahab, who was in the line of evil kings in that time, his history was an evil king because of what his relationship he had got in. See, part of what made Ahab evil was that he married into this relationship. Come on, the scripture tells us don't be unevenly. But they going to come to church, pastor, but they ain't here yet. But they believe in God. Well, let me see it. Come on, sometimes we get involved with these relationships and we unevenly yoked. We following after the flesh and after what the flesh. Oh, they feel it feel good. They look good. But it ain't for you. Come on, everything that look good ain't good. Oh, y'all knew that, huh? But we still do it. We still do it. Come on, Ahab had got caught up because he had got much like Solomon in this realm of running after these women, and he wrong caught up with the wrong one. Come on, I ain't here to preach about Jezebel. She preached for herself, amen. But something has to be said about getting into unevenly yoked relationships. See, what it does and what the sermon is about, it creates in us a conflict of interest. See, they may be interested in just laying and playing, but definitely not staying. Come on, we get in these relationships and things happen in lives, and people want to know why this is happening and why they don't love me like they should and why they don't treat me like they should. Is because you got in a relationship and they was going one way and you was going another way. Well, we cannot stand for God and live for God with the conflict of interest. Come on, we cannot say I'm living for God and standing for God, but yet I'll sleep with you. Because right then they'll know you will compromise. See, compromise is only good when we're working together over a conflict. But it's not good when I'm giving over my interest in God. Come on, we have to be weary and aware of the conflict of interest that happens many times in relationships. Come on, too many people are married and unevenly yoked. Come on, they're going after the wrong attributes. They're living under the wrong covering. And they're not allowing God to give them what they need for lives. They're making choices. They're making decisions. This is what I like. Come on, when is it ever going to be what God wants for my life and not just what I want for my life? Come on, it has been a taboo many times in relationships and churches because the interests are not there together. There's always been a conflict. Come on, sometimes people find it, they get it together, and they can walk in unity because the Bible says two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. And if we are not in agreement and you want to go left and I want to go right and you want to do this and I want to do that and you want to go up and I want to go down, then we got a conflict of how can we get along like that? How can we walk together like that? You want to go to church on Sunday, and I want to take a day off on Sunday, and you want to learn about the Bible, and I want to learn about you, and we got a conflict. We got a conflict of interest. Come on, this cost Ahab his morality. This cost Ahab his mindset. This cost Ahab how he served the Lord and how God looked upon him because he made a decision that I'm going to follow after this interest and forget about your interest. And many times it's a conflict, church. And we're making decisions every day. Come on, that's why the scripture, that's why Joshua said, as for this day, I'm going to serve the Lord. He says, now you choose this day whom you will serve. Come on, it became a conflict for Ahab because he had made a decision to marry this lady. And she hated God's people. And helped turn Ahab's heart and his mind against God's people. Come on, notice this discrepancy always when somebody hated God's people, they hated all the priests first. You read your scriptures. They hated the people who stood for God because they were against God. So they always set up ambushes from Samuel to Saul all the way through the lineage. They were killing the priests and the prophets because they were anti-God, because it was a conflict of their interests. Come on, even the modern day Pharisees and Sadducees, because they had set themselves up to become this and to become that and to be pontius and be all this and potentates in the minds of the people, that anybody, especially when Jesus came along, that talked about something different, it turned them against God. Come on, we got to be careful that we don't allow the conflict of interest, even our self-own interest, to turn us from God. Come on, it is devastating when God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we go in and out. Turn the light on, then we go back out. We turn the light on, then we go back out. Even though God has brought you into a marvelous light, we turn the light on, and then we turn it out. Come on, we've got to be careful. See, King Ahab, who was the king of Israel, God's chosen people, and somehow he allowed himself to be devoted to Baal and to Asherah. See, these were false gods in that time. Many of them meant to be fertility gods and the god of rain or dew, which was needed to make the land fertile. So they worshipped them. They created these idols, and Ahab had become a temple worshiper of Baal. He had set up another god. He had totally had a conflict of interest for his life. Come on, he set these up. It was a serious conflict of interest. See, much like many Christians today, when if we face compromise, come on, in how we serve the true and living God, we face compromise. We do a little bit here. We do a little bit there. See, the reality is, and you can write this down, oftentimes compromise starts small. Sometimes it's just a little bit, a little white lie. There's not a half truth, or just I do a little bit right. And sometimes we don't even notice it because the conflict is so heavy in our life. We don't even notice it. And then the next thing you know, we're listening to secular music. I'm watching everything I want to watch, even though I know what it's doing to me. I'm saying what I want to say, even though I know how it's affecting other people. But I say it anyway. Come on. It's because I've allowed myself to get into a place where I'm living conflicted. And anything that's living conflicted is not normal. It's abnormal. Come on, compromise starts in a little bit. Come on, the Bible says it's the little foxes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Come on, sometimes it's not the big, humongous things. It's not getting up in the morning saying, God, I don't like what you're doing in my life. God, I don't like what's going on around me. God, I don't want, I'm not going to serve you right today. I'm going to lie, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to steal, I'm going to do something. Nobody gets up and says that. It is the gradual deception that the enemy sows into our heart that makes us step back and set back. And then before we know it, because of the conflict of interest in our lives, we find ourselves on the outs. Don't know how I got there. Don't know why I got there. But I'm there. It's a challenge. And I'm going to tell you today, the enemy's trying to get many of us today to live conflicted. Come on, to not want to wage war or deal with the confrontation of living for God. Come on, we can't give in to that, church. We have to overcome. Come on, it all starts when we replace God's standards with our own. Come on, church, happens every day. It happens every day. That's why the divorce rates in the church is just as high as it is in the world. That's why abuse and domestic violence is as high in the church as it is in the world. Come on, that's why people who's filing bankruptcy in the church as much as they are in the world. It's because people replace God's standards with their own. Come on, we can look at every area of our lives. From our relationships, who we marry, who we dating, how we giving, and how we living. Come on, how we work. Come on, this all have to do with when we replace God's standards with our own. Come on, the simple reality is sometimes our standards become so high in what we think of ourselves. Not because of what God said, it's because of what we desire. It's not because God demanded it upon your life. It's not because God said you got to be married with 3 kids by the time you're 35. We make these decisions. We make these decisions. And many times it's because we have a conflict of God's interests. See, it amazes me to see how a culture, especially Christians, they fear the world's laws and standards over God's. Come on, Acts chapter 5, not Ananias and Sapphira, but Acts chapter 5, Peter and his apostles were confronted. They said, stop preaching Jesus. Stop telling people about Jesus. And Peter had to get up because the Spirit of the Lord was on him, and he said, it is better for us to obey God than to obey man. But so many times, because of our conflict of interest, we are what? Upside down. Come on, we so much worried about getting a ticket, not just that we honor God. Come on, we've got to change the parameters of how we live. See, we fear the idea of going to jail or getting a ticket when we break the law, but completely okay with lying and cheating and backbiting and doing certain things that dishonor God, but yet we ain't worried about God's law, we just worried about man. What can man do to me? Come on, we got to make sure that we are not falling into the trap of the world and finding out that God's law and his commandments are better to obey than man's. Come on, what kind of accountability do we need? Come on, do we need Ananias and Sapphira accountability today? Come on, we rely so heavily on being saved by grace and that we can't ask for forgiveness when we wrong. Come on, sometimes we wrong, it's 2 left shoes. And we won't say, I'm wrong. But yet we want the forgiveness of God and we want the grace of God to rest on our lives, but we never say, I'm wrong. Forgive me. messed up. It's me, God. It's me, not them. And allow God's perfect work to happen in your life. Come on, where's the grace? Where can we understand that we're being saved by grace? And it's not too much of us to say, God, forgive me. Come on, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is what? He's faithful. And he's what? Just. To what? Forgive us. God wants to forgive you. He don't want to hold you. He wants to forgive you. But when we have a conflict of interest and we think God is out to get us or he is against us, then we don't ask for forgiveness and allow God's perfect work to happen in our lives. Come on, too many people are holding on to stuff and trying to live and hide stuff. You can't hide it from God. The scripture says your sin will define you out. You think you can run, but you cannot hide. Your sin will find you out. That means God sees everything. That means he sees everything. So it is up to us to make sure we are not conflicted in this area. That we allow God to have his perfect work in us. That means when I mess up, I fess up. Amen. Forgive me, Lord. Come on, sometimes that is not a high priority for people. And they rather live in the conflict of being wrong or right, or up or down, or in and out, but never in the right interest of God. See, it is in our best interest that we say, God, forgive us from all unrighteousness. So that we can live above and not beneath. See, sin is a torment. Judgment is torment. When the enemy can torment us, he keeps us in a constant state of conflict. Can't think straight. Can't live straight. Can't deal with people straight. Because of this conflict that's going on in my mind. Come on, we have a lot to do, church, to get on the same page that God wants us to get on and get out of this conflict of interest. Come on, God has done too much and given us too many standards for us to keep what? Lowering our standards. Come on, we can live for God. Come on, we can live without being reckless and trying to justify sinning. Come on, we cannot lower our standards and lower God's standards to replace them for our own. I don't care how much it make you feel good. I don't care how much people are going to be offended because you ain't drinking at their party. Let them be offended. And you stay sober. And you ain't got to deal with that DUI. Ain't getting no amens on that. That's all right. That's all right. Still paying for it. Amen. That's all right. Come on, we lower the original standard by replacing God's standards with our own. We're going to do it the way we want to. We're going to live how we think is right. But when are we ever going to say, what does God say? Come on, people still living that today, and they're having all kinds of relationships, and men with men and women with women, because they have lowered what? Their standards. God never called you to that. He never called us to live in certain relationships that we in. Not married, you still sleeping with them. Still living like that. That's not God's standards. Come on, we want God to bless our life and overtake our life. Do it his way. Amen. You ain't going to be here that long. I know we think we're going to be here a long time, but it's just but a day for the Lord. We got to make sure we can work and do what we can while it's day. Because then the night is what? It's coming. We can't continue to lower our standards for moments of pleasure and moments of relief because we don't want to do the way God wants us to do it. Come on, remember this, that Matthew chapter 5 says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many find it. But narrow is the way that leads to life. And look what the scripture says, and few find it. We got to make a decision. And sometimes it's easier in the conflict to take the easy way out. And many times that's what people do. I'm going to take the easy way out. It's too hard to make this work. It's too hard to do it the way God say do it. But let me tell you something. The way of a transgressor is hard. Because what the enemy wants you to do, what he did with Jesus in Matthew 4, Luke 4, is he said compromise. And that's the biggest part of our conflict of interest, is that the enemy always wants us to do what? Compromise. Come on, take something that don't belong to you. Do something that you shouldn't do. Compromise. Come on, say something and just say, well, the Lord will forgive me. Compromise. Come on, many times we live in that state, and God's saying we got to come up from this conflict of interest and live the way he's called us to live. And not stand in fearful judgment of what God thinks. Well, we can't worry about what he thinks now because I've been doing it my way so long. I'm just going to do it God way on Sunday. And maybe on Monday if the sermon was good. We've got to challenge ourselves, church, to not live in this conflict of interest. Come on, as we continue to compromise, even in the little areas. Come on, first, I just won't give tithes this week. And then the next week, well, I don't have it. It's the little bit. And then the next thing you know, I compromise. Come on, every time we compromise in whatever area of our lives, we lose a little bit. We lose a little bit. Come on, I know. Well, I'm just going to sleep with him one time. But as soon as you do that, you've lost a little bit. You've lost a little bit of what God had given you to bless your life. And then the next thing you know, it's the compromise. And every time we compromise, whatever area it is, we lose a little bit. Maybe we lose a little bit of ourselves. Maybe we lose a little bit of our fear of God. Maybe we lose a little bit of how we appreciate God, and we got apathy going on in our lives because I really don't care anymore. It's because what? I've compromised. Well, God is trying to chase us down so that we don't live in a conflict of interest. I don't have to compromise. If God can't do it for me, then it can't get done. He done gave me everything and placed me where I am and gave me the grace to survive, and yet still I will compromise. And I find myself every day trying to overcome this conflict of interest. Come on, we tend to compromise, church, these three things. Because we compromise to avoid being offensive. Well, I don't want to offend them. They took me to the movies. They showed me a good time. We got to get down now. Oh, y'all know where you are. You know where you are. And we what? We compromise. Come on, everybody else taking an hour and a half for lunch. You're supposed to take 30 minutes. And you're doing it every other day. And you do what? You compromise. Come on, it ain't just in our relationships. It's in every area of our life. Amen. That the enemy wants to keep us conflicted on what we do and how we do it. Am I going to do it right or not? Am I going to live for God or not? And it becomes what? A conflict. And the first reason is because people don't want to what? I don't want to offend you. Amen. Everybody else smoking weed and we blowing a joint together. But I don't want to offend you. Look, I'll take it. Come on, everybody else doing this, and they doing that, and I don't want to offend you, so I'll come too. And we conflicted. No one I shouldn't be doing this. No one shouldn't be living like that. And then I find myself doing it anyway. It's a conflict. Come on, church, we got to be real with ourselves if we can't be real with nobody else. And God says, you know what? We can't live like this. It is a conflict. It is a confrontation of how I should be, even if somebody is offended because I ain't go to their party. But you got to come, man. We going to the strip club. I got And all the men say, oh, Lord. It's a conflict. Well, that's my boy. It's this bachelor party. We got to go. We got to do this, man. We got to do this. And it becomes what? Come on, we got it in every area of our lives. Come on, sometimes it's big, sometimes it's minimal, but it's still there. Come on, it can be just as simple as, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do nothing spiritual. I'm definitely not praying. I got a conflict of my interest. Spend hours watching TV. And ain't talked to God not one time. That's a conflict. God don't want us living conflicted like that. Come on, I'm not saying we got to live out of balance and we wake up and everybody's a priest and we in holiness without, and nobody will see God. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that. So there has to be a certain degree of our lives that say, you know what? I have to sanctify or consecrate my life for Him. Well, people do it for everything else. People give their life for 4 years training and getting themselves in order and doing this and dieting and eating right and doing all the things they could do for a 7-second race. For 7 seconds of their life. Beat themselves down, chisel themselves up, steroid, whatever they got to take. So that they are their best for 7 seconds. Why did they do that? Why do they do that? They do that for a reward. A perishable reward. And God says, you need to do it for imperishable reward. It's not going to rust. It's not going to decay. It's not going to lose its value. Run this race that way. Come on, stop being and worrying about, am I going to offend somebody? And not be worried that you're going to offend God. Come on, sometimes we just so worried. Well, I don't want them to be hurt. They ain't going to call me. They ain't going to talk to me. So we're going to do it. No, when we're going to stop doing it and say, God, you're going to be there for me. Come on, stop compromising and worrying about, am I going to offend somebody else? Amen? Come on, sometimes we just too feeling oriented. Well, I don't know if they're going to talk to me anymore. Well, I don't know. I take a chance every time I get in this pulpit. Somebody going to be offended. Somebody going to take it the wrong way. Somebody going to think I'm talking about them. Somebody going to say, did you say my name? I ain't say your name. I might say your name. I don't know if I said your name or not. I just want to say what God want to say. And God said we can't live in this conflict of interest. Come on, we got too many things going on. We got too many seasons in our lives. We got too many changes that we go through that always keep living conflicted. If God is God, serve Him. Come on, He told Ahab, He said, you know what? You know who God is. He said, how long will you suffer or falter between two opinions? If He's God, serve Him. If He's been good to you, serve Him. If He's blessed you, serve Him. You ain't got to keep running back to say, is it still good over here? That's a conflict. That's a challenge. That's lukewarm. That's not where God wants you to be. Come on, when God challenges your life, he says to deal with what's going on in our life. Come on, here, this is God's chosen people. He's the king of them. And he has this conflict of how to live his life. How much more conflict do you think we have? How much? Well, this ain't nothing new. This is an everyday occurrence. The challenge is everybody don't always fight for it. Some people give in to the compromise. Come on, secondly, we care about too much about keeping face or popularity or the peace. Come on, we care too much about keeping face, our popularity, and keeping the peace. So we compromise, that we're willing to sacrifice. Come on, God told Saul, kill everybody. But Saul made a decision, I'm going to compromise. He kept the best sheep alive. He kept the king alive. And God said, do what? Kill everything. He did what? He compromised to keep his face, to keep his popularity. And sometimes we do that, where everybody else going with it and everybody else is doing this, and we go along too to keep the peace. Come on, Melvin, you hit it right on today. Acts 5. Ananias and Sapphira. They did what? To keep the peace with each other. But they went against what? God. Come on, the Bible says Satan filled their heart to do it. But there still was a what? Conflict. Because they had already made a decision. We're going to do this. And then the next decision they made was, oh, we can't do that. And many times we are like that in our life, and it leads to compromise. And we want to do right, and we made a decision, I'm going to do right. I'm going to keep myself. I ain't going to keep sleeping with these guys. And then the next thing you know, he killed me. I don't know, you just don't know. You don't know, Pastor. Was that a good voice? All right. Oh, we don't know. But the whole thing is, the enemy just wants you to what? Compromise. Come on, he took Jesus up here. He said, this gonna all be yours. Just bow down. And many times, that's the only thing the enemy wants to do, is get you to what? Bow down. Now I know I got you. I know I got you. Come on, this millionaire went up to this couple on a cruise ship. He told the man, he said, I want to sleep with your wife. I'll give you $1 million just one night with your wife. The man ripped his shirt. You kidding me? You can't do that. Who are you to come up and say that to me? Got indignant with the man. Went back, him and his wife, to their room. Talked about it. $1 million sure would be good right now. We could cruise every week. It's just one night. We can blindfold you. It's one night. And they found the man. Rode all over the ship. Said, we'll take it. And the man said, you know what? Okay, that's great. But now I'm only going to give you $1,000 for the one night. And the man said, who do you think we are? What do you think we are? He said, well, I know what you are now. Now I just want to negotiate the price. Come on, sometimes that's how it is with Satan. He just try to get you to know, what will you compromise? How much would it cost you? Come on, that's what happened with Samson. Samson was holding his virtue, wouldn't drink, wouldn't do nothing, holy to God, and here comes Delilah. And all she wanted to know is, where's your strength? And for a while, he wouldn't give it up. And sometimes that's good in our consecration. We ain't giving it up. Amen? Amen. I got a few amens. I got a few. Oh, Pastor. He wasn't giving it up. He knew she meant him no good. So he said, I ain't giving it up. But the scripture says he kept putting his head in her. Big mistake. Big mistake. And then after a while, he gave it up. See, the enemy wear on us. He know what you like. Tall, dark, and handsome. Work it or not. Let's finish the sermon. The devil know what you like. All he had to do is know what makes you compromise. He could have dismissed Delilah at any time in his life. But it was what he liked. And many times it's the same thing in our life. Maybe it's that drink you like. Or that buzz you get for that joint you smoke that makes you compromise. Maybe it's the feeling of being excited because you're around your people. Whatever it may be, the devil know what you like. Come on, some things are safe. Maybe it ain't women that turn you on. Maybe it ain't a man that turn you on. Maybe it's your greed that turn you on. Or maybe it's that. The enemy know. And all he tried to do is get us to a place where we're willing to compromise. Because if I can get them to compromise, I can conquer them right where they are. We've got to be the church. We've got to overcome. Because if not, it'll be a constant life of conflict of interest. Not knowing to do right. Not living the way God say live. Not being the way God say be, because I got a different interest in mind. Come on, God knows we have a fight on our hand. It's an everyday confrontation. And many times the warfare can be hard. It can be harsh. People can't get offended. You may lose popularity. People may not call you, but don't call them. Don't invite them. It's all right. Somebody will invite you. I hope. We'll invite you to the church picnic. Don't worry about it. You coming out. You coming out. Don't worry. Come on, we gotta work. We gotta make sure we're working here, church, and not so worried about popular opinion and whether people can feel good about you or not. Come on, don't live with that constant conflict of interest in your life. Come on, we've gotta be willing to sacrifice just about anything. We gotta sacrifice anything for the kingdom of God. Come on, as a culture, we've embraced the belief of this word is my word, tolerationism. Tolerationism. We're going to deal with it. Come on, that in addition to existing around people we disagree with. Know the way they live, we don't agree with it. But yet they would never know because you co-sign it. You never say nothing contrary because of whatever reason. I don't want to ruffle their feathers. Well, everybody don't live like this. Well, you think you holier than that? Well, ain't nobody perfect. That's the Christian cliche that I ain't going to live right for God. Ain't nobody perfect. Well, try. Try. If you miss, at least you'll be up there. Amen. Try. Come on, as a culture, we've embraced this belief. Tolerism. I just want you to like me. Come on, people gonna like you, or some people not gonna like you. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. Y'all still offended. Don't be offended. Everybody don't like me. as good as I am today. It's tolerism. I just tolerate them because my wife come here. I'm just Well, sometimes we just be around people that don't agree with you. They don't agree with how you live. They don't agree with how you think. They don't agree with where you're going. They don't believe in God like you do. And we have to make a decision. Because sometimes it becomes tolerism. And really, we say one thing, but we live another way. I say I believe in God, but my lifestyle doesn't align with that. Because I've tolerated so much. Come on, the scripture calls Lot righteous because he didn't participate in the sodomy and the things that they did, but he didn't leave it. But God called him righteous because he didn't do it. Not because he wasn't living in it, and we live in it. It's around us. We deal with it. But that don't mean we do it. Come on, we got to get to a place where we can live with the approval of God. And not the approval of man, of what they practice, of what they believe. Come on, I believe the first part about being tolerant and accepting people in the world as they are. I believe in that. Come on, everybody is welcome in this church and in this place. Because if God saved me, he can save you. Nothing is too hard for God. Just give your life to him. He's the one that cleans us up. He's the one that changes our life. He's the one. Sometimes we give ourselves too much credit. And we want to manipulate things and change things the way we want them to be and do this the way we want them to do. And still, they don't work out right. But when are we going to give God a chance to work something in our life and see how it ends going to be? Come on, if you want to sleep with them, marry them. I got amens over here, all the married section. All the single people say, oh, Pastor! Single people said nothing! That was all the married people. Y'all a tough crowd, boy. I just want to give you the truth. Because God has a better life. For us, when we do it his way. Come on, sometimes it takes people a while to get where God wants us to be. And sometimes people compromise and they don't live the way they should live. But God can redeem the time. At any time. All it was one decision. The only way to make things right in our lives when we've made so many bad decisions is to start making good ones. God don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Amen. God gives us a chance. He gave me a chance. And he still does it. It's because he's a redeemer. Come on, when he called us, when he called our name, it's because he wanted to redeem our life, not condemn it. He wanted to give us every opportunity to live right for him and to get his blessings. Amen? And stop living from behind and live ahead of where God wants us to be. There is a place in God that is a place of surety and confidence in him. And we ain't got to worry about, well, is God going to get us? Is this right? And always every day getting up is a conflict. This is a conflict. No, God gives us every opportunity. And guess what? The resources are in your life everywhere. Everywhere for us to do the right thing. Sometimes it is us that make the decision that I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Even if we don't say it, we do it. Well, we've got to make a decision so we don't live in this conflict. Amen? Come on, lastly, I live in this great country. We all do. And we hold this belief sometimes of tolerism. However, where it becomes twisted is now in order to be considered tolerant, I now have to accept. And that's where the challenge comes in. Well, this is my girlfriend. That's your girlfriend? That's your girlfriend, Susie? Oh. And they make us choose to tolerate. Don't get me wrong. There's a way to how to do it. Even if we don't agree, there's a way to how to do it. Y'all with me? Well, this is my girlfriend. Oh, nice to meet you. Where's your boyfriend? Where's your boyfriend? What, that's your girlfriend? What? Do y'all have a boyfriend? You know, he did make male and female, man and wife, boys and girls. That is right, right? Sometimes we don't have to be disagreeable. Well, you know that ain't right. That's abomination. You wrong. Most of the time, you're not going to get a response out of that. You have to give truth. Not your opinion. Because that's where people get wrong. They go too far over with their don't you going too far. In every area of our life, if somebody compromises, and I know you're compromising, it's not my job to condemn you. And if I get opportunity, the only thing I'm going to present to you is truth. So that you can make a decision. See, God is into our willful decision. Come on, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. You made me do it. I ain't want to. Then it ain't no good. If I got to make you, come on, the best people to serve in the Lord is the people who want to. Not because I asked you to. It's because I want to. Come on, that makes us better for the kingdom. Because now my heart is for God. Not in a position, not in an assignment. It's because I want to please God. Come on, that changes the game. That changes how we live for God. Come on, sometimes the world has beat us down so much to do this and to do that. And the TV says it's acceptable. Come on, it came a time in TV, even in my age, where you ain't see some of the things going on TV. Now they doing everything. Come on, men kissing men, women kissing women. Because our nation and our culture has become what? Tolerism. We just going to deal with it. We just going to deal with it. Come on, when are we going to allow God to deal with us so that we can receive from him? Well, I don't want no fake blessing. I want a real deal blessing. Come on, we've got to get to that place. Come on, I value other people. You know, I value them in our lives. But I don't value popularity. Because the same people that halal Jesus, they said crucify him. Come on, the challenge is we're so quick to sell out to God in our culture. And when we sell out, we live conflicted, and we don't get the things that God wants us to get. I can't finish 1 Kings 18, but you can turn there real quick. It was a famine in the land, and they didn't have water. Elijah confronts Ahab because he wants Ahab to change his ways. He's calling Elijah a troubler of Israel, and he said, I'm not troubling Israel. You are. Because you won't live for God. So he says, this is what we're going to do. Stop faltering between two opinions. And they have this big thing. They bought all the prophets. They bought them all out. And the prophets of Baal and Asherah. 450. And they out there all day, all night, calling on their false god. Because they've already made a decision. And Elijah makes fun of them. They say, oh, where's your God? Where's your God? Is he sleeping? Come on, y'all read the text. I'm trying to paraphrase it because we're way out of time. check it out. It's a famine in the land, and they're doing all of this. And Elijah's up there. He's saying, what are y'all going to do? Where's your God? And he stands in confidence because, check this, he says, I believe and stand on my God. I'm not compromising. I'm not serving Baal. I'm not giving in to Asherah. Y'all do that. I'm going to serve the Lord. And sun up, sun down. Next day they have, y'all know, the battle on Mount Carmel. Elijah takes the stones, builds the altar. Say, kill the goat, the bull, kill it. Sacrifice it on the altar, put the wood on the altar. Then look what he does. It's a famine, remember. He tells them, give them what? That's scarce. That's sacred right now. That's sacred. But he asks for what? Says, give me the water. I can't even imagine it. People dying of thirst. People living in a famine. And you want the water? What you going to do with it? He tells them to do what? Pour it all out. I can imagine they lost their mind right there. We need this water. And you say, pour it all. So they what? They pour the water out. Pour it on the wood. Now the wood is wet. And Elijah calls on God. Come on, sometimes all we have to do when we're in a position where people want you to compromise, call on God. Come on, Elijah didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know how it was going to happen. But he trusted God. And God answered by what? Fire. And consumed all the sacrifice. Soaked up all the water. And made his point. I'm the God that answers. Well, these prophets mean nothing. The scripture goes on. He destroyed all the prophets of Baal. Then the next day, he told Ahab. They found out it's going about to be a rainstorm. Just look for the rain. Come on, it may have been a famine behind us, but look for the rain, amen? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, look for the rain. Might have been a famine behind you, but look for the rain. Come on, God is a consuming fire. He's ready to change our lives. But we cannot live in a conflict of interest. Come on, if God is God, serve him. If Baal is doing something for your life, look what happened to them. Didn't work out for them. Come on, serve the true and living God. While we got a chance, while we have a choice. Come on, don't wait for somebody to make you serve, to make you do it. No, serve the Lord with gladness. Make it your choice and get out of this life of a conflict of interest. Amen.